Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
there's a kind of a fundamental basis for post-traumatic slave syndrome. How many of you are familiar with post-traumatic stress disorder? But when we start talking about chattel slavery, we're not talking about one trauma.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, to stimulate those who are awakened, to feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life. One life term. First, I'd like to thank Free Talk Productions for for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.lawtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought TT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Medicare for Everyone. Some politician stated he was against the government providing medical insurance for everyone in the United States. He stated this was the first step to turning the country into a socialist country. Is socialism or capitalism an impediment to free health care or universal health care in the United States? We are supposed to live in a democratic country. That means people rule. Let's assume that the people do rule, just for the sake of argument, because we know we can get into a whole lot of stuff about that. Let's assume the people rule the country. I'm asking every and anybody, would you want free health care? Would you make that happen? This by this little political science quick lesson here from the editors of the encyclopedia. Capitalism, also referred to as the free market economy or free enterprise economy or economic system, is dominant in the Western world since the breakup of feudalism. I mean, we'll talk about that. I'll tell you, if you don't know what that is, I'll get to that too. In which most of the means of production are privately owned and production is guided and income distributed largely through the operation of markets. So you have all these different types of markets that you get your stuff from nowadays. Feudalism. You've seen them on the, Robin Hood. That's a good example of feudalism. That's the feudal lord system. Remember, I don't know if people remember, but the guy was just making the people just give up their stuff. You know, you got to get your stuff up, then they ask for more, they don't really care about you. They just take your stuff. You got to give me some of your part of your crop, certain amount, stuff like that anyway. So, in feudalism, the dominant social system in medieval Europe, in which the nobility held land from the crown, king, right, in exchange for military service and vassals, were in turn tenants of the nobles, while the peasants, right, or the serfs, right, the poor folks, right, were obligated to live on the lord's land and give him homage, labor, and share of the produce nationally in exchange for military protection. So that just sounds like the mob to me. It's a shakedown. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but that just sounds like a shakedown to me. BusinessDictionary.com says socialism, an economic system in which goods and services are provided through a central system of cooperative and or government ownership rather than through competition and a free market system. Now, I'm saying that's because if we live in a democratic society and we are controlling what we do here, wouldn't that, and government is supposed to represent us or be us, government for the people, by the people, for the people, whatever. Let's just assume that's what it is, right? Or that's what it's supposed to be, and that's what it is. Wouldn't we have, we have to be worried about Medicare, getting medical services? Hammond Hospital is closing in Philadelphia because of economic reasons. Would we have that problem if that was a federally ran hospital? Encyclopedia Britannica, Terrence Ball and Richard Digger said socialism, socialist, social, and economic doctrine that calls for public rather than private ownership or control of property and natural resources. Those are the things you need to do. All the stuff, everything you say about it doing comes from a natural resource. I don't care what it is. If you knit in your own shirt, it's a natural resource where that comes from. Everything comes from the natural resource, which is the earth. So if you control the earth, the land, you control the natural resources that come from the land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Should those things that we depend on be all? Should we depend on people who have their own self-interest? Should we be dependent on them, or should we depend on ourselves as a group or individuals or interest groups? Not trying to turn this into a political science show, but I had to hit on some of this here to even address some of the, what I'm talking about, because it's basically politics, which I don't really do politics, but I have to today, tonight. Anyway, let's say furthermore, everything that people do is, in some sense, a social product, and everyone who contributes to the production of a good is entitled to a share in it. Society as a whole, therefore, should own at least control property for the benefit of all its members. Again, I'm just bringing to the come back to the question, if this is a democratic society, the people rule, which you vote, how many of the people would vote for the people not to own and control property, things that we need, things like that. So Prabhakar was saying of socialism, it's the enemy of capitalism, where individuals get to own, control, exploit resources, government, and control the people. Impoverished people have no power in a capitalist system. That's why you're poor. That's part of the reason. Individual well-being and success trumps collective well-being and success in a capitalist system, see? So, not to say that there's no room for capitalism in a socialist system or practicing both of these things at the same time. Things that are not essential to our survival could be managed under a capitalist system. The things we need should be controlled and available to us, the people. That is simply logical. Medicare for everyone. Some politician stated he was against the government providing medical insurance for everyone in the United States. He stated this was the first step to turning the country into a socialist country. Is England a socialist country? What type of medical insurance does he have now and after he's out of office? Well, right now, we know taxpayers' dollars pay for his medical insurance. Now, they say it doesn't. Or not all of his medical insurance, but it's all taxpayers' dollars, and we're going to get to that. In fact, his medical benefits are far greater than the medical benefits of the population he is supposed to serve. He is saying it is acceptable to use taxpayers' dollars to provide politicians with secure, gainful employment and medical insurance, but unacceptable to provide medical insurance to the taxpayers. He is clearly not representing all taxpayers. This sounds like he is representing the capital interests of the private insurance industry and his personal interests. When did helping people become a bad thing? I didn't get the memo on that. When capitalists package medical insurance policy and gain support through their representative in the houses and everybody made money, these are the same people the government asks and forces citizens to go to war in the interest of the wealthy. Where on earth can the servant have better benefits than the people they serve except in a capitalist pyramid system? Politicians should have the same opportunity for medical benefits as the citizen he serves. Then you might get better off, services from these guys. Get those bums out of office. Most of the planet has free or universal health insurance. Socialism is not a bad word. Capitalism is suspect because it is not inclusive. Anyone who would deny you health care is denying you the right to survive, to address disease and injury. And we have plenty of all of that. A politician's salary, medical insurance, is paid by taxpayers' dollars, actually. Technically, they pay 28% premium from their taxpayer-provided salary, and taxpayers pay the rest through the federal government. It's all taxpayer money. They said there's a long list of countries that have to offer free health care or universal health care or even both, and they're not socialist, communist countries. Okay? We talked about universal health care. I mean, there is a health care system that provides coverage to at least 90% of citizens, typically paid for by the citizens of the country via taxes, right? Free health care is different from universal health care. The term is often used interchangeably, but they're different. Free health care means that all citizens receive health care at no cost or at a very minimum cost, right? And universal is covers up to 90%. So I guess you got a 10% premium or something like that to pay, or 10% cost. One form of universal health care is when the government pays for the health care needs of its residents, aka free health care. This is often called the single payer system, but this is not the only method. A country may have universal health care in a sense through legislated expensive mandatory insurance coverage. A country may also have a basic level of universal health care. However, in reality, the majority of citizens still purchase supplemental health insurance to ensure an appropriate standard of care, which is another problem. Where can you find free health care? All right? They say, according to the FTC, there are about 43 countries in the world over that offer free or universal health care. Now, we're supposed to be one of the most advanced country on the planet. Is that right? You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the United States was supposed to be up there in terms of, Anyway, however, the standards among these countries can vary widely. This list includes everyone from Norway, one of the healthiest countries in the world, and the first country in the world to introduce free health care in 1912 to Yemen, where raging conflict has been made health care from international relief agencies nearly impossible to access. So they have a problem over there in Yemen. You know what I mean? So a list of countries offering universal health care system. Now, which one of these countries are socialist countries? Australia. Then Austria. Bahrain. Belgium. Brunei. I never heard of that. Canada. That's real close. Cyprus. Denmark. Finland. France. Germany. Greece. Hong Kong. Iceland. Ireland. Israel. Italy. Japan, Kuwait, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Singapore, Slovenia, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, you know, that's England, right? So those aren't all socialist countries. And when did socialism become such a bad word? I don't get it. By definition, it's not a bad thing, unless you're a capitalist. Anyway, are these all socialist countries? No. Do they have capitalist economies? Yes. So why is this so-called politician trying to throw a curveball on Medicare for everyone? I mean, wouldn't you want that for all your people? I mean, if your interests, this is what I don't get. If you represent the people, wouldn't you want them to have health care? I mean, wouldn't that be one of your major interests, is to see that they're able to get health care? And if half of the world, more than half of the major countries have it, what's the hold up? Well, I'd say it's capitalism, not socialism at all. So it's capitalist idea and the things that have been formulated on the back, the foundation of capitalism. Anyway, Russia has free health care since 1996. That's communist Russia. India is introducing health care for 500 million of its poorest citizens. See what's happening here? India, and they got a whole lot of people over there. They got 500 million poor people over there, and they say, hey, we need to help these people. So there's a connection there. And they're going to help their people because their people aren't healthy. Guess what? They don't have people. They don't have a healthy labor force. They won't have a healthy military. And the military won't be as, in terms of the size of it, it's going to be a lot smaller because these people are going to be diseased and unhealthy because they haven't been able to get any medical care. So it's going to benefit the country to have healthy people. Unless you're trying to exterminate people, then it makes sense not to give everybody health care. If you want people to die, then, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I'm just saying in terms of the logic of a person who has the mentality to cause the untimely death of persons or a group of persons, that might be why you might not want to provide health care, because you might think that you need less people, or you need less of a certain group of people, so you let them die. Kind of like a natural selection thing, but it's not natural because you're selecting and planning to allow them to die. You put them in a situation like that, you know, because I don't know, unless you want people to die, then I guess you wouldn't make health care available to easily, readily available to people, because the word free makes it readily available. Do what you need to do to get it. Oh, we have a caller. I'm sorry, caller. Welcome to Provocative Talk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name's Courtney Williams. I'm calling from down North Philly.
Courtney, how you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm glad I had the time, you know, to sit down and map out this hour to be in. And then you had mentioned the word that made me press that button, and it was population control. And I say that because and looking around without any judgment, because we're not in the position to kind of judge or punish folks, but just observation and seeing the practices that are taking place, almost as if certain folks are being used to get to the highest level of medical innovation, but we're not servicing folks at the same time. Right? All the studies in the world are being done on individuals. They got a lot of knowledge. We got a lot of resources, and it's for a price somehow, like in a price that people can't pay. And seeing the examples that other countries have, it's very much to the benefit of individuals to kind of have people perish. It's like it costs when you're born, it costs when you die. You got to open up the ground. The insurance companies and different folks ship money around. It's to the extent whereas these folks will make more money off of folks living and dying than those folks will in their actual existence.
That's very sad. So, because most of the so-called advanced countries have this, you know, free Medicare. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to live forever or anything like that, or live a longer time, but it gives you an opportunity to, because we have a lot of other things that impact on how long you live. But, so you saying this might be in terms of, let's just go with the United States. Big holdout. So you might say they want people to die inadvertently, so therefore they use this, they are basically taking a back seat to this free health care thing and hope that people do die. And on top of that, they want to generate revenue from death.
Indeed, and I definitely do believe that, and it's based on what it is that we can observe, because if we wanted to promote like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and having folks living their best lives, then what it is that's actually taking place, with a lot of different things, and it's also tied into the medical care piece, those things wouldn't take place. And I'll refer to it as like kind of mensicidal things, like things that folks would do to cause harm to themselves or to other individuals. So in different spaces, whether it be like the entertainment piece, I'll take that for example. Then the reality of what's going on in the streets, and then you correlate what's going on, and it's art is supposed to imitate reality, but in 2019 is art dictating reality?
Mm.
Because some things that I may have engaged in. If I was never, how can a man know what he never knew? So if we didn't have the exposure, how could we engage in different mensicidal things on a level of the community if we hadn't been exposed to them and thinking that it was actually, and being sensationalized by it, thinking that it's a good thing to do these things? Because, like, it's this one gentleman, his name's John Rich. He got a book called Wrong Time, Wrong Place. So he's a doctor up in Boston. So then, and then he ended up going over to Drexel. So he did a little study on the folks that had gunshot wounds that he had repaired, basically saved their lives. And it talked about how they were in situations basically that they couldn't get out of. And ultimately, in coming to Philadelphia, he started to see the same scenario.
Mm.
So, and it's like, at what point will treating gunshot wounds become illegal? Like, that's, and I think that something like that would happen, but with the things that do spring up, like, folks have to really be careful, because, and I think on a community level, we're not overly represented in the medical field, with us being doctors and nurses and et cetera. But we go through there for a lot of services.
Okay. All right. So, answer the question. My basic question for today: if it within your power, would we have free medical care? Yes or no?
We would have absolutely free medical care. Absolutely, because medical care costs, and the country says that it's broke, but it's certain reasons why the country is broke. And sometimes I always say I want to be careful how I speak, but I have to be very direct. I think that there's a group of folks, I can't identify them. Somebody's destroying the United States on purpose. These guys are internationalists. They're not focused on this country in particular. They're focused on the capital and the different innovations that can be made. But it's coming with the sacrifice of people of all cultures. And I think once people of all cultures get on board and communicate that, we need healthcare and it needs to be free, then we can have a situation. But with the graduated income tax, they take the money from us ahead of time. So we can't even dictate where our money actually goes.
Okay, and we know who operates beyond borders? Corporations, right?
Yes.
All right, so I mean, I'm just piggybacking on what you're saying, and if anybody's listening, he's saying people who operate beyond borders do not have the same boundaries and allegiance that we might assume that people have. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And somebody could be sitting in office, but still like rocking out with or going with multinational corporations and different things of that nature. Whereas they don't have the allegiance and loyalty to the American people that they say they do.
Right. Right.
And I think a lot of folks are being vocal about it, but they have us in a situation where it seems like a lot of average citizens are simply impotent in the situation, and it's to the point where it's actually making us complicit in it because we can't do anything about it. So it's like very arbitrary, and I know it's supposed to be a democracy, but no, it's supposed to be a republic, because in a democracy the majority wins, and if the two thirds decided that we needed to be slaves, then we would be slaves. But something needs to come to a head to the extent where there's clarity. Folks can understand what's going on around them and understand the resources that they have access to and know where to turn. It should not be a mystery. And at the moment that it is a mystery, that's to someone's advantage.
That's interesting. That's very profound.
In the sense of like underdevelopment, because it's a gentleman on Walter Rodney. He had the piece "How Europe Underdeveloped Africa." So and taken from that piece, I was able to kind of make the comparison that they're actually in different spaces also underdeveloping individuals for the sake of both, like for the sake of enhancing the success of the state. So the more successful the state is, the more the people are suffering.
Right.
Right.
But because what helps uplift people? Education. So why would I educate somebody who's going to take me over? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? I'm a capitalist. Why would I help you rise up to take me over? And I'm not saying this is okay. I'm just being the devil's advocate here. Why would I help you?
And we also got to consider that, especially when we're training some of our young folks to run through the PWIs. You know, it's to the extent where we're losing community members in a lot of different ways. And when I speak, I keep it kind of central to the community, because I don't see other folks coming in and assisting us in different ways, nor have they done that historically. And when they do have a presence, there's an economic gain, and there's also, I would say, like the creation of like a docile community member, a community member that's good at taking orders. When I was young, I was very good at taking orders because that's how I was trained. Then I ran through some spaces that reversed my thinking and had me kind of be the master of my situation, and recognizing that there are things in life that I can control, and I need to control the controllable factors versus letting those controllable factors be dictated by somebody else. In that instance, how I attain my food, my clothes, and my shelter.
Okay, so how do we take that energy and make an impact on this idea that, the people here getting free medical care? How do we take that same energy in?
I think it's going to take it's going to take somebody like I think about the gentleman that Che Corvera, like he was a medical school student. So when he was going out into rural spaces in Cuba, he was able to do a particular thing. We're going to need these young folks that are being trained in different areas to step up, to branch out, and to actually provide those services. I know that like medical technology is very expensive, but we're going to need individuals that care about communities in all cultures to be rogue, come out of the mainstream spaces, and provide those services to the folks that they know need it, and or create a dichotomy where, you know what, we're not serving folks that have the money until the folks that don't have can get served.
That's interesting right there, because we live in a capitalist system, and we have a lot of capitalist mentality here, right? Which is to some point narcissistic, depending on who you're dealing with, who you're talking to, which individual. That's an individual thing in terms of being narcissistic, but it has a function, a narcissistic type function, because in order for me to capitalize, someone else is going to have to not do so well. Let's put it that way. It's you understand what I'm saying? We all can't do well under a capitalist system. We all cannot be kings, right?
Not at all.
Right. So how do we? How do we do that? How do we make that switch in this capitalist system, right? Which, as you said, the capitalists here don't really have the same boundaries that we have here, right? Worldwide. It's a global system, right? The economy is a global system, right? So how do we get these guys, the people in power, or the people who have power, to turn this thing around and say, free medical care for the people? How do we make that happen?
Like, looking at how change is taking place historically, somebody's going to have to die. And when I say that, making it relevant to, like, somebody important that's significant, that's supposed to have access to something, won't be able to access something. And then they'll say, well, this elite individual wasn't able to be serviced, maybe because he couldn't be identified, maybe. Like, say we have an elite individual goes into a situation and needs him in medical treatment, and is not being serviced and accommodated because he's not, because he's misidentified or can't be identified, then it'd be in the news. Oh, this individual, you know, succumbed to a certain illness, and it was this particular person. And we known for probably, you know, many years that we can treat that ailment and cure that person. But then because he was not identified, it'd make people start to look at general community members being as important as those elitist individuals that may have access. Because if in different ways, depending on what the situation is, you can't get accommodated.
Okay. All right, so you're basically saying nobody cares about the poor. It's going to have to happen to somebody who's affluent and has power before somebody may see a need to give everybody medical care. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. Man, that's all. Oh, wow. So inadvertently, or still depending on the survival of the wealthy again, depending on changes being made based on what happened to people who are wealthy and decisions people or people who are in control make in accordance to the lives of the wealthy. So there's nothing that grassroots people could do. Nothing
that
we
can
do at the grassroots level?
I think, because the conversation is out there. Like, the conversation is on a grassroots level. It's on an organizational, institutional level. And it's also going on in academia. So the conversation is certainly out there. But it's to the point where there has to be a catastrophic event before the change takes place. And, of course, And looking at a calculated way of how the change can come about, because in terms of spontaneity, we could have been brought that particular thing into existence. We could have been brought that thing into existence. And I don't work in the medical field per se, however, but that's when we come to a situation of actually being capitalists. We have folks that develop skills, and they develop skills to go out and make money. Now, when I was younger, I graduated high school. I was able to step on the college campus. My goal was to take out, you know, loans, get myself through this, and then come back home and build my community. I was really thinking that whatever they gave me, I can give it verbatim to the community and develop the community. I was flawed in my thinking, but not in the approach that I was willing to make the sacrifice to go and get some stuff and to be able to bring it back, because it was bigger than myself. I'm gonna make money regardless. And the moment that we're seeking to get the highest salary to do certain things, what will people do for money? Will you not do your best work just because you're getting money? I think when people really appreciate their craft, and somebody could be an anthropologist, an artist, or a medical doctor, if you develop your craft and appreciate your craft, you want to find a way to get your craft to the people, because the craft is for the people. It's just a situation where we have to use our skills and our gifts and our talents to accrue, to get the capital. And that's, you know, it's very much in plain sight. Like you said, like, depending on what's what, people just go with the money because that dictates their lifestyles. But if we have enough folks to go, and I won't even say that it's rogue, if we have enough folks to step out of those spaces and to come and to help and assist individuals, and to also be very much vocal, I think that we can get it done. People are, the hospital is going on strike because folks not getting paid right. Like, you're not getting paid right, so you're going to walk off your job. But what about the craft and these people needing assistance? Like, this is essentially what we deal with. Like, the teachers will walk out of school because they feel like they're not getting paid right. Like, teachers make a lot of, they make good money. But they'll walk off unless somebody
stops. You know, Hahnemann is closing, right?
Yeah, I recognize that, and it was open for like a particular amount of years. It should be to the effect, right, whereas it's an ordinance in the city that this hospital will never shut down. But it's somebody's business, whether the temple takes it over or you know, something happens to that land. Those things can be appropriated for, because every day my taxes go up. Every day the products that we purchase go up. We've been recycling for years. My products just go up and they get smaller. So,
well, you know, Hyman is closing.
I'm
sorry. They said they cannot continue to lose millions of dollars each month and remain in business. Key word here, business.
Oh, my fault. Say that word again. You said existence?
Business. There's an article about Hyman. It said they cannot, right? The president, Joel Friedman, said basically Hyman cannot continue to lose billions of dollars each month and remain in business. So it's the business. The hospital is a business. Back to that whole capitalist question or issue that we have here.
And it's the value that they put, the number value that they put, the financial value that they put on these individual services that when folks are coming in. One of the reasons I feel that the United States is actually going to succumb to itself is because they're generating so much money from people that don't have it. And in different ways, it's going to continue to lose its value. At what point do you accumulate so much that it's not useful to you? And in not being an economist, but just observing it, if they didn't put the prices the way that the prices were, they could probably actually make a profit. They could probably actually make even more of a profit, depending on what the services cost. Because we got insurance, and even when you got insurance, you still have to pay to go through the emergency room. And I know that those bills add up to these folks. Because personally, I got some hospital bills myself, but why is it that certain bills are so exuberant, astronomical, and compared to different things that we actually purchase? So if they made healthcare more affordable, I think more folks and or free, more folks would actually go in and they'll actually make more money.
Mm. Or less. Like, how much money do you need to make? How much is all these? I mean, because life is – I understand that life, you can't put a price on life. I'm not. Yeah, but how much money do you really need to make in the healthcare? And if it's like you're saying that this is an astronomical amount of money being charged to people for healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and most of us are not wealthy. Most of us don't make even $60,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people that ain't making that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? That's not a whole lot of money nowadays. This 2019, that's $60,000, not a whole lot of money. Your pocket's not fat.
Yeah, if they made it more available that way, more available to the folks that way, it could definitely work out. And then I'll take, like, you could take one company. Let's take a company. Let's take Victory. Let's take Nike. So let's compare Nike to maybe an off-brand shoe. The off-brand company may still do very well because it's serving a need, and yeah, it's clearly to somebody's benefit. It's clearly to somebody's benefit. But in terms of ethics and morality, I realize that in different European structures, that's one thing that it's difficult to bring into the equation, because in looking at the continuum of history, folks have shown, I want to say, they've shown a tendency to not be moral and to not be humane in different ways. So on the one hand, you know, we could say, well, you know, we couldn't have expected less from them. You know, this is what these individuals do. But almost speaking with a forked tongue, it should be to the point where it's outlawed to charge for medical care.
That's free medical care. But not that people should. I don't think that they shouldn't get paid. But I'm saying that, like what you said, it shouldn't be astronomical. It shouldn't be such a great cost, you know, that people can't afford it. Because it should be somewhere where you can go get your medical needs attended to in an efficient and a responsible manner. Not where you go where this guy right here, you might come out of there and you might not. You know what I'm saying? You should have good care. With free medical care, it should be excellent medical care, right? The wealthy, if you paid for it, it should be excellent, right? Because if you're paying a person to paint a wall, right, to do something for you, the wall should be painted correctly. So if you pay somebody to take care of your health needs, it should be taken care of in an efficient, responsible manner, even if it's free. So, I mean, What's stopping that? It sounded that was just one man saying that, because he don't speak for the houses, both houses. But I'm just, it made me think about free health care and to see who has it. And he was talking about socialism and like it was a real bad word and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, it just looks like capitalism and socialism is like water and oil. You know what I'm saying?
In a certain sense, like when Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, he wrote capitalism at the same time. So the way that these things have been introduced into societies, they've served to the benefit of being able to make the most money. Because like we said, and even in the socialist economy, people, you know, somebody's making the money. So socialism
right.
is certainly not a bad word at all. But we need to be able to identify being able to provide social services properly in a capitalistic society. And one of the things about capitalism is it kind of goes hand in hand with death in a certain way. Like you want to bankrupt folks. That's, you know, you want to buy folks out. You want to do these different types of things. You want to do an eminent domain on some folks. When
right.
it doesn't seem to serve the communal base or the community base. It serves the rugged individual, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Even in the medical field, say you go to school and you come out, you're making $150,000 as a doctor. Well, in comparison to the entertainers, you're not even making no real money in comparison
right.
to what the entertainers are doing. So medical care is something that everybody needs. And when it's not prioritized that everybody access that, we're going to have problems. And I look at it in the sense of how I've been socialized, how my parents been socialized, and also my family. You know, since I've been young, I think it might have been 87, the guy was coming through the air with the chemtrails from the plane. It said Minute Maid Orange, 20 ounce, 59 cents. We was trying to get 59 cents to go get that 20 ounce bottle of Minute Maid Orange. Like we wanted that. I didn't know what soda does to people. I know that when I was a baby
right.
and I drank it, it kicked back out my nose. But somehow I could just
right.
guzzle that thing down now. So these different things they're marketing a culture of death. And because I tried to emphasize earlier, like it's also a value monetarily to them when we die, because so many people exist in different ways. But they need to be checked, and they need to be checked from within by laypersons that actually work for them. Because in different ways, we have the gifts, skills, and talents, and they strip our dignity to the point where as folks are just going in and laboring. I think it needs to be a space where, although these mainstream spaces exist, if you have the credentials, you should be able to do it independently. You should be able to get access to the medicine and give it out independently. All of these different things that they've learned all these different medical innovations that they've learned over the years, traveling back through centuries, of course, comes from a particular place. And I consider in the pyramids, it was to be considered magic. They interacted with the elements in a different way, in a certain way. So it's illegal to interact with the elements here in certain ways. I can't mix up certain elements. I can't get access to certain elements. I'll be considered a terrorist. But the more that these things become more readily available and the folks are able to exist and serve the folks outside of the governance of those mainstream spaces, I think that we could possibly get what we need. And then, because Marx always talked about the so-called revolution piece, and in different ways, because he wrote the Communist Manifesto and capitalism at the same time, it almost seems like that revolution was always a farce, or that revolution was I would consider to be controlled opposition.
Okay,
but essentially,
so,
my fault.
No, go ahead. No, you go. Go ahead.
But we need folks to want to be knowledgeable. We need folks to be knowledgeable and be accountable to each other. To be accountable to each other. When I see myself serving as a professional, I work for agencies, entities, and organizations, but I'm accountable to the people. That work that I put out, it must be done. And depending on what service somebody needs, and with the capacity that I'm in, I can give them that. And because it's not directly tied to capitalism in a particular way. It's I can hone my craft and my skills, and I can work to the best of my ability for the folks that I render services to.
So would you say that the countries that I mentioned, like let's just say Canada has free health care, are they being accountable to their citizens or more accountable than the United States is in terms of the health care issues? Because we know we have multiple issues. But if you're just talking about health care right now, would you say Canada was being more accountable?
More accountable to the more accountable to the people because they're enacting programs that sustain life. They're enacting programs that sustain life, and a lot of what we have in place here in America is it's anti-life. It's money it's money to be made in anti-life. Even with and it's also a touchy topic. Even with the abortion piece, because you mentioned population control earlier. So I think about Margaret Sanger, about Planned Parenthood. To some folks, they can come across that information, and to them, it's a narrative. If one is not a critical thinker, they're unable to understand things on different levels. And based off of communally how we're taught to hold on to the narrative, we suppose that we have the narrative, but you're supposed to critically look at the narrative.
So, our government, would you say that we have taxation and little to no representation in terms of receiving free medical care in the United States? Would that be one of our issues?
I think that's very accurate as well, because I don't see in many spaces general community members saying they don't want free health care. That seems to be something that's dictated from the top down. No, we can't have universal health care. It's a form of socialism. But and as we had mentioned earlier, at what point does socialism become bad? We know that communism is a no go. But with socialism, you can have like a socialist democracy. You can have things existing in that fashion, because I know with Bernie Sanders, like they were calling him a socialist, but in that, with these terms that folks use, and if they don't understand the word, they'll misuse the word and misjudge the word.
Right. It sounds like a skid
thing. Very, very, very much so. Just like the word conspiracy theory. Like, do you think like a conspiracy is something that's very much real, something that can be proven, but to say, that person's a conspiracy theorist. So you mean to tell me all that evidence that person has is inadmissible? They have the evidence. It's inadmissible. No, it's
right.
I think about the art of language that we use, where they identify and describe phenomena. Like they'll tell you what's what. Like we see Eric Gardner get choked on the camera. Oh no, this didn't happen. No, we can see that this happened. So like Canada is very much accountable to their citizens. The United States needs to be held more accountable to the citizens, but I feel like these individuals in these places, they're not held accountable to them. They're held accountable to something else. And it's hard to identify, but there's an allegiance to something, and it is not the American people. It's the underdevelopment of the American people. Because at the moment that at every angle that the United States actually developed itself, it underdeveloped its own citizens and folks around the world.
Right. So that's how you maintain
the moment that
power.
Development is taking place, underdevelopment is also taking place. But
right.
it's gross underdevelopment. And,
right.
and with that, looking at the military state that we have, it's important that we have that, because we done dehumanized and demoralized citizens so much that, yeah, you need to make sure that nobody rises up against you. Because it's almost a heist move, for lack of a better word. Graduated income tax. You can't say where your money goes. You know, we going to vote, but then at the same time, we got to remember we didn't vote to get the vote.
You got to remember also that depending on which thing you're voting on, your vote not counting in the first place.
Yeah.
So we have the electoral vote for the president.
Very, very much so.
Yeah,
so we need folks to be to be dedicated to the community, to be able to come out away from your job and whatever it is that you do professionally, you're able to provide that service without a fee. That's the I think that's the test of humanity in different ways, because if we got to attack capitalism and we can't bring down the structure, we need to be able to attack the capitalist within. Attack the capitalist within and be able to earn capital from your gifts, your skills, and your talents that you honed, but also be able to provide that to the people.
Right. Yeah, I think there's room for capitalism in terms of economy that we are not dependent upon. You understand what I'm saying? Like you talk about the film industry. We're not dependent upon the film industry. You know what I'm saying? In terms of, say, with no film, no movies being made, it wouldn't stop you from eating. It would stop those people who are dependent on the industry, who work in the industry, from eating. But in terms of the country, we're not going to fall apart because we don't, Hollywood doesn't make movies anymore. You understand what I'm saying? But we need food. We need shelter. We need medical care. You understand what I'm saying? And apparently we need a military because we ain't going to get into that. We need one. But, you know, in terms of, you know, I guess the – maybe we need to infiltrate the people who make decisions. So we may not know who the top dogs are, but we know who are there, the people, where the people are that make decisions. That's in the houses, right? And the Senate, yes. And the House Representatives, and the Capitol, state capitals, things like that. Maybe people need to, individual citizens need to step up, and when you get a chance to run for office, stand for something and stay standing there. How about that?
Indeed. One of the things I think about when I think about politicians and how they engage is a lot of politicians actually need to be taken to court for treason. And when I say treason, because they put things in place that counter progress. That counters progress. And I'm thinking about an example. Like whether it's, I'll take some for instance, like the sugar tax. They put things in place that are counterproductive. And yeah, they put things in place that are counterproductive. And
right.
Also, I say
like no free healthcare.
Like the treasonous aspect is, you're internationalist. You got corporate interests. So to not the country that you're maybe a born citizen of, which most of these folks are because they're politicians. For your allegiance to not be to the development of these folks, but the exploitation of these folks is a negative thing. And like I had mentioned before, like we can't play morality with individuals because like folks are actually supposed to be Christian. If you put them to the test for the last 600 years, they fail that test every day. They aren't democratic. They aren't Christian. They can't be democratic, nor can they be Christian. And in that, it's something that they're serving. And it's not the people. It's the pockets. That's one, but it's also also something else. And it's plain.
That's right. That is totally what I believe to be totally correct. And the evidence is there. You know, you can just look around you. You can see that somebody's not serving. You can tell when you're not being served, right? You don't have to be a doctor. We have a doctor of political science. Or sociology, or the philosophy, or nothing like that. You can tell you're not being represented. Okay, we got 90 seconds. Quick, I just want to thank you for calling in, brother, and hope to have you again on the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. And until next week, everyone, remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. Keep the peace, y'all. Grow, learn, baby, learn. All right, Quick. See you later.
Have a
see good everybody.
All right.
Thanks, Corey.
Good night.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.